Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, please dial in at 319-527-6204. And you can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. I pray that each and every one had a wonderful weekend, and now we're back to doing God's business from Tuesday to Saturday. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to say a short prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And now we're going to open up our hearts and let Jesus come in. Amen. Praise be to God.
You might be sitting there thinking to yourself, where is my God now? So many hypocrites professing to be Christians, lying and gossiping in the church. But I'm here to let you know that it starts with you. Because all it takes is the anointing to make a difference. Now listen. There may be times in your life when you don't know what to do. It seems like everything is going wrong, and you don't know how you'll make it through. Took your kindness for weakness and didn't return your favor.
Let us spirit.
Open.
Honey.
Praise be to God. Open up your heart and let Jesus come in. Let us pray. Jehovah means the relational God. Jehovah, you are worthy of all praise and admiration. You are the God who made the heavens and the earth. You set the stars in their place and hung the moon where it was to remain. You rule over all, and yet you also seek a relationship with each creation. For that and much more, you are worthy of all praise and worship. I lift up your name, Jehovah, as I seek your face. And I honor you as you are seated on your throne above all. You are the great and mighty God who raises up kingdoms and subdues nations at your choosing. In your mercy, you sustain all life and passionately delight in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681. And call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Come here. You tried it your way, and you made your bed hard. Besides, your arms are too short to box with God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Better listen to the Spirit, because God may not speak twice. God's chastening those that He loves the most, and He gives us grace, so no man can boast. For He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He's the sovereign God, and His kingdom reigns supreme. When a man puts you down, God's angels pick you up onto the next level. For His mercy is
another next level.
Before you with a heart of contrition, knowing I often haven't honored you as Lord and Master of my life. You wait for me to come talk to you, to wake up and greet you, or to spend my evenings with you. But I have instead wasted time on futile distractions. You are the relational God who desires to walk with me in the cool of the day, just as you walk with Adam and Eve in those early days of your creation. Forgive me for often seeking to walk alone and ignoring the blessings and joy of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Hear my cry,
Devotional message, amen, which is entitled Power in Prayer. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from James chapter 5, verse 16 from the AMP Bible. And it says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Amen. Praise be to God. The writer says, do you sometimes find it difficult to pray? He's asking the question. Does it seem as if there is a battle going on in your mind with thoughts bombarding you as you try to focus on God? Nowhere does the Bible suggest that prayer is going to be easy. In fact, a struggle ensues when you bow before the Father. The enemy will attack you, harassing you with doubts and attempting to convince you that God would never listen to someone like you. But the devil does so because he knows how dangerous you are when you're on your knees before the throne of grace. Today's verse illustrates this fact. Your prayers have tremendous power because of the one you appeal to. When you ask God for his answers to the challenges before you, he makes known solutions that are beyond imagination and carries them out on your behalf, freeing you and glorifying himself. The enemy hates that because it means his defeat. So keep on praying. Push through. Cling to God and expect him to act. Don't ever give up, because prayer is the sure path to victory. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, pray through me and help me preserve in prayer so that your will is done in all things. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message. And now at this time, I will play another selection.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things. 'Cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open. Strongholds are broken. I'm impossible. Yeah.
Praise be to God. Jehovah, thank you for desiring to be close to me. Thank you for not only being high and lifted up, but also dwelling with lowly and with those who are not of a high stature. Thank you for the goodness and depths of your heart, which pours out love times and time again in my life. Thank you for your grace and patience, which you lovingly manifest even in the face of my many dismissals of you. I often walk in the midst of the beauty of your creation without giving you the praise and credit you deserve. Please accept my heart of gratitude right now for all you have made and for all you desire to know me fully and to keep empowering me to know you as well. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Moore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. If you would like to join us, please feel free to dial 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. We will gladly have you. And you can come and give your thoughts or comments on what the writer is saying. Amen? Because a family that prays together stays together.
So let's live forever.
morning. Pray in the morning. Pray in the midnight hour. The path to peace. In Psalms 29 and 11 says, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Wherever you are in life, you can experience God's peace deep within your soul. Such tranquility comes when you acknowledge your trust in the Lord and release control of your situation to him. This does not mean you avoid responsibility. It means you acknowledge that you need the Lord to help and guide you. So how do you do so? There are four essentials to experiencing God's peace. First, express your total dependency on the Lord. Acknowledging God as your strength and refuge shifts your focus from your finite abilities to infinite power. Second, pray. Prayer and meditation on God's words are essential to experience in true peace, because they are the key to having intimacy with Christ, your Prince of Peace. And third, speak out and demonstrate faith. Hold on to the fact that the Lord has promised never to leave or forsake you and can get you through anything you face. And finally, focus on God, because certainly he will give you the wisdom, strength, and the peace you need to withstand whatever happens. Friend, the Lord is glad to give you his peace. Therefore, stop worrying. Give him your concerns and trust him to lead you. Amen. Praise be to God. Jesus, thank you for your peace and for delivering me through all circumstances. I praise your name. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. So at this time, I will play another selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Praise God. Because prayer changes things. Amen.
Prayer changes things. trying to make tomorrow better than today. Yesterday's rain brings hope of a Sunday. Never say never, or come what may, for there's a greater power. Hand of the throne, he reigns. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh, 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 oh.
Promising I'll be a key in changing lifestyles. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm preaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Before the child, if you spare the rod, teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than obtaining wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day, or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, a better than kisses from an enemy, enemy. The wicked finally lose, the righteous finally win. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counsel and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open, and taking the proverbs that were spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song from the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
I know life can be a blip sometimes. Seem like as soon as you get one step forward, it'll knock you back three steps. Listen here.
You might be feeling that life is getting you down.
What a mighty God to serve.
be to God. Jehovah, to know you and to be known by you, to experience the depth of this intimacy is my heart's greatest cry. Give me the capacity to love you deeply and to receive the love you have for me. Where my heart has become hardened or jaded, remind me of the purity of your love and gentle message. It open again. Where my mind has become too methodical, give me the gift of wonder at who you are and the works of your hand. Delight my soul with your word and with the flesh, the fresh wind of your Holy Spirit. Slow my steps so that abiding with you becomes a way of life. Help me to honor you as King and to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I'll play a short selection. Amen.
Gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God. You can't hurry.
He'll be there. Don't you worry. Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry God. Oh no, you just gotta wait. Gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God. You can't hurry. You can't hurry.
He'll be there.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry. Oh well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time.
Ooh.
God is the way maker.
I'm
gonna
Again, we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, who's running a bit late. So in the meantime, I will continue playing our inspirational music. Amen. Praise God.
Through all of your trials, you must trust and believe.
Amen. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our lesson. And at this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. God bless you. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you. No complaints.
Mm-hmm.
I won't complain.
Great. Wonderful.
Amen.
All right. We're going to open with prayer. We're going to make it short tonight. I'm not going to go through the whole what's remaining. We're just going to do a couple of things. All right?
Okay.
I'm going to open with prayer first, though. Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants gathered together to study your word. We're studying basic theology, Father God, trying to learn more about these. So, Lord, bless those who are on the line. Bless those who are coming on the line, who thought about coming. Bless us and keep us, Lord, and we will be blessed and kept. We just can't thank you enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Your grace, your mercy, your compassion, your kindness and your favor, your generosity, your love. Lord God, we thank you so very much for all that you are and all that you will ever be, for making us who we are and all who we will ever be. So bless again, heal the sick, mend the brokenhearted, supply jobs to those who are in need of employment. Get this country right, Father God. Make a way out of no way. And just allow us to be more loving, more encouraging to one another. Father, we bless you and adore you. Can't do anything without you. And again, I thank you, and I'm totally grateful for all and everything that you do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
And I just have to add, I don't know if you saw my text on Sunday in reference to your message.
Sunday? No, go ahead. What was it?
No, I was just saying it was a very good message and the fact that it was encouraging. That was your topic.
Oh, my topic, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hot. It was one of the best you've done, and like I said, it was much needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to learn to encourage and love on one another.
Amen.
And it's a small thing to do, you know.
Yeah.
People don't take the time. They don't have the inclination to do so, but it's necessary. And
Amen.
It helps the relationship. If you just encourage one another, your hair looks nice. You're glowing. Your dress.
Exactly.
Your suit, your smile. You know, something. To let the other party know that you notice them. It's not just a, you know, in and out, I'm so busy, I'm so important. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was a very meaningful message. And I guess it's erased by now, but I sent you a little lengthy text after you did your message.
Oh, and I'm looking, but I don't see it. I see Sunday.
They don't stay up. They don't stay up.
The messages,
the messages don't stay up. But anyway, we're going to go with this message.
All
tonight,
right.
We're going to go to Christ's teachings, because I don't mean to cut you off, but
no,
Christ's
no, that's
teachings
fine.
Concerning sin. We're going to look back at section B on page 248, talking about open sins. We read that, but I'm going to read it again.
Okay.
Although all sins are sinful, not all sins are of equal magnitude. Some sins are truly more sinful than others.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always been taught, as I have, that all sins are the same. All right? So this author is saying that they're not of equal magnitude. The Lord affirmed this in his teaching on the speck and the log in Matthew 7:1-5. And when he said that Caiaphas's sin of delivering Christ to the authorities was greater than Pilate's, John 19:11. And this is where we really stop. Some examples of open sins that are often of greater magnitude include sins of speech, especially those that show defiance of Christ's claims, Matthew 12:22-37, and open opposition and rejection of God's messengers, 21:33-46, still coming from Matthew. So let's take a look at Matthew 7:1-5,
okay,
and then John 19:11.
Okay, Matthew 7:1-5 says, and this is Jesus speaking. Jesus teaches about judging others. He said, "Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think? How can you think of saying to your friend, 'Let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you cannot see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrites! First get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." Amen.
Amen.
I mean, if you're full of sin, how can you help somebody else? You got to help yourself first before you
All right.
even think about helping somebody else.
Acknowledge this thing that's in your way, that's
yes.
blocking your path,
exactly.
before you try to talk about the little speck that's in somebody else's eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clean up your own house first.
That's
know?
What you say.
Clean around
Amen.
Your own house too. Amen. Thank you. And then let's look at John 19:11.
John 19:11 says, Jesus still speaking, then Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greatest sin." Wow. Caiaphas, his sin is greater than Pilate's sin because he's the one who turned Jesus over to the, well, to, I call him the
to
enemy.
To Pilate.
But to Pilate.
Pilate.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Pilate had him flogged and crucified because
Get your facts straight. No, Pilate didn't do that. Pilate washed his hands of it, remember? He said, He might have had him flogged, but he did not have him crucified. He sent him back to Herod.
And Herod sent him back to Pilate.
Well, Pilate is not the one that crucified him. Pilate washed his hands of it, and he sent him back to Herod.
It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who said, "Crucify him," because after Pilate said that, according to the Jewish law, they released one prisoner in place of another. So,
get your facts straight. They were allowed to free one criminal, not so much in the place of the other, but they had a choice. Give me Barabbas, they said, or give me Jesus. And they chose give me Barabbas, and he was a robber. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, so it wasn't a matter of they had a choice. Well, I guess they did have a choice, but not so much in place of another. It was two, and they had to decide which one they wanted to have crucified. And they decided to free Barabbas and have Jesus crucified. Okay?
Well,
mm-hmm. So, let me see. Let me see. I'm just going to read this part, 12. Well, Jesus, you haven't a shred of authority over me except, this is Jesus speaking, except mm-hmm. what I've been giving you from heaven. And he's talking to Pilate. That's
yes.
why the one who betrayed me to you has committed a far greater fault, talking about Caiaphas.
Yes.
At this point, Pilate tried his best to pardon him. He tried to wash his hands of it, but the Jews shouted him down. If you pardon this man, you're no friend of Caesar's. Anyone setting himself up as king defies Caesar. When Pilate heard those words, he led Jesus outside. He sat down at the judgment seat in the area designated Stone Court, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the preparation day for Passover. The
mm-hmm.
hour was noon. Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They
mm-hmm.
shouted back, kill him, crucify him." Pilate said, "I am to crucify your king?" The high priest answered, "We have no king except Caesar." Pilate caved into their demand. He turned him over to be crucified. They took Jesus away, carrying his cross. Jesus went out to the place called Skull Hill, the name in Hebrew is Golgotha, where they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, Jesus in the middle. Pilate wrote a sign and had it placed on the cross, and it read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Okay, you were right. Pilate allowed him to be crucified.
Yep.
But at one point, he washed his hands of it, and that's
yep.
when he sent him to
right.
Herod.
Yeah.
And then I guess Herod sent him back, and it was a back
yep.
and forth kind of thing. But when he yep. wanted to free him,
uh-huh.
the Jews cried out,
yeah.
"Kill him!
Mm-hmm.
Kill him! Crucify him!" So because they were claiming that there was another king, and they couldn't have that, the Romans couldn't have that, he went
right.
along with that.
Exactly.
Okay. So when they crucified him, the Roman soldiers took his clothes and divided them. You know that part. So
yes.
Pilate was the one that allowed him to be crucified. But as I said before, he did wash his hands of him and sent him to another person in charge.
Right. And that
right.
person in charge
sent
him
back.
To him.
Right. Okay.
And the,
and so we're going to go on to some examples of open sins that
mm-hmm.
often are far of greater magnitude, include sins of speech, especially those that show defiance of Christ's claims. Looking at Matthew 12, 22 through 37.
Mm-hmm. Matthew
12, 22 through 37.
And this deals with the religious leaders accused Jesus of getting his power from Satan. 22
okay.
says, "Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and could not speak was brought to Jesus. He healed the man so that he could both speak and see. The crowd was amazed and asked, 'Could it be that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah?' But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, 'No wonder he can cast out demons. He gets his power from Satan, the prince of demons.' And
mm.
Jesus knew their thoughts and replied. Jesus said, 'Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A town or family splintered by feuding will fall apart. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he is divided and fighting against himself. His own kingdom will not survive. And if I am empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too. So they will condemn you for what you have said. But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You, brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Religious leaders asked Jesus for a miraculous sign. It goes up to 37. Oh, that's it.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
37.
Got
Thank
carried
you.
Away with all of the, what Jesus was saying. I was bypassing what I was supposed to say.
No, it was to 37.
Yeah. But I was getting ready to go into 38. That's why I
said. Oh, okay.
No, that's great. So what do you think?
About what Jesus was speaking? And yeah.
About what you just read.
Right. Whatever comes out of your mouth, is you can't take it back. And you're going to be judged on all of our sins. And if you do something evil in this life and you don't forgive people for what you said or done, then you won't be forgiven either. But if you speak evil of the Holy Spirit, now that sin, you will never be forgiven.
Right. Why?
Because you're speaking against God and the Holy Spirit, because God is the Holy Spirit.
Okay, but you can curse out Jesus.
No, you can't. You can't curse Jesus.
Why not?
Because then you're blaspheming against him.
That's not the Holy Spirit.
So I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. Which will be forgiven. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can speak against him and everything, and you will be forgiven still. But the only one you won't be forgiven is when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And I said, why?
Oh.
Anyone
who speaks against the Holy Spirit, but no, not either in this world or the next one to come. Okay, so why?
I'm gonna read what the message says, and it starts at 28.
Okay.
But if it's by God's power that I am sending the evil spirits packing, then God's kingdom is here for sure. How in the world do you think it's possible in broad daylight to enter the house of an awake, able-bodied, blah, 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 okay, 30. This is war, and there is no neutral ground. If you're not on my side, you're the enemy. If you're not helping, you're making things worse. Here it is. There's nothing done or forgiven. But if you deliberately persist in your slanders against God's spirit, you are repudiating the very one who forgives. If you reject the Son of Man, out of some misunderstanding, the Holy Spirit can forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you reject the Holy Spirit, when you blaspheme, when you curse the Holy Spirit, you're sawing off the branch on which you're sitting, severing by your own perversity all connection with the one, meaning God, who forgives, or the Holy Spirit. So you can do all those things, but who would want to? But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's the one that forgives.
Yes.
So you really don't want to say anything, you know, bad or wrong against
right.
the Holy Spirit. You don't want to blaspheme the very one that is supporting you, the one that is forgiving you. The Holy Spirit is who forgives you.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, you can curse, you know, others of the Trinity, but why would you want to do it? But if
exactly.
you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's considered an unforgivable sin. Everything else they claim, even murder, is supposed to be forgivable. I don't agree with that, but... You know,
it says
if you murder while you're in war, that's a different kind of murder. That's not the same, you know, when it's like a one-on-one and somebody's in a domestic situation. Or you know what I'm saying, in a civil situation, that's not the same. So if you're in war and you kill somebody, that's looked at differently than when you are in an outside of a war situation. Some places say that murder in Revelation, it tells you fornicators, whoremongers, murderers, liars will not see the kingdom, all right? And then in someplace else, it says the only sin that's not forgivable is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit and everything else. It's forgivable, so it's
so
not clear.
I don't know. And so, in other words, they're telling you that if you murder somebody or if you commit all these different sins, you are forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, you are not forgiven.
Right. And why is that again? Why is that not forgivable?
Because the Holy Spirit is the one who forgives.
Amen. Amen. So we don't want to do that. No. And not even a matter of being caught. Don't want to do it.
No. Absolutely not.
Don't do that. So we're going to look at Matthew 21, 33 through 46.
Okie dokie. Wow. Mm-mm. Definitely don't want to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit.
No.
33 says, okay, Jesus tells the parable of the evil farmers. He says, now listen to another story. A certain landowner planted a vineyard, built a wall around it, dug a pit for pressing out the grape juice, and built a lookout tower. Then he leased the vineyard to tenants, farmers, who moved to another country. At the time of the great harvest, he sent his servants to collect his share of the crop. But the farmers grabbed his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned the other. So the landowner sent a larger group of his servants to collect for him. But the results were the same. Finally, the owner sent his son, thinking, surely they will respect my son. But when the tenant farmers saw his son coming, they said to one another, here comes the heir to this estate. Come on, let's kill him and get the estate for ourselves. So they grabbed him, dragged him out of the vineyard, and murdered him. When the owner of the vineyard returned, Jesus asked, what do you think he will do to those farmers? The religious leaders replied, he will put the wicked men to a horrible death and lease the vineyard to others who will give him his share of the crop after each harvest. Then Jesus asked them, did not you ever read this in the scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the point, and it is wonderful to see. I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation that will produce the proper fruit. Anyone who stumbles over that stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone it falls on. When the leading priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they realized he was telling the story against them. They were the wicked farmers. They wanted to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd. Who
Amen.
Jesus to be a prophet? Wow.
Amen. Amen.
Can you imagine that? All the time Jesus telling that story, he's talking to them.
Yeah.
About them.
Yeah.
Because they were wicked.
And so, yes. Who was the stone that the masons threw out and is now the cornerstone?
Jesus.
All right. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, whoever stumbles on this stone gets shattered. Whoever the stone falls on gets smashed. This is the cornerstone. This is the most important stone of the whole building.
Right.
The cornerstone, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. We're going to stop here. Well, yeah, we're going to stop here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At C. And
C.
And we only did one little paragraph, but
that's okay.
We had homework. Did you get to do it?
You mean the one about Caiaphas?
Caiaphas. There's no L in it.
Okay. That's the only way I know how to pronounce his name. He was...
You got it right, Caiaphas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was from the Sadducees, the Sadducees.
That's what he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it says who was Caiaphas in the Bible, okay?
There's no L in his name.
Caiaphas. Well, how
Caiaphas.
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 Uh-huh.
Okay. Caiaphas was also a member of the ruling Jewish sects, the Sadducees. Sadducees were often wealthy men of high position. So that's what he was. He was I thought he was a Pharisee, but he wasn't. He was from the Sadducees, because they had different of them. They had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and that's it. It was only those two that was in that meeting where the Sadducees seemed like they had more clout than the Pharisees.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking that they probably had more clout because, you know, he was the one that ordered them. I mean, he said to take Christ in the nighttime so that the people won't see, you know, because he didn't want to start an uproar during the feast.
Passover.
Yeah,
the Passover feast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got the opposite of what I got. I said Caiaphas was the high priest. What sex was he from, Pharisee or otherwise?
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Joseph Caiaphas. He was the high priest of Jerusalem who sent Jesus to Pilate to be executed. He was a Pharisee.
Oh, but
so
according to
gotta go back and look at the
New
World
look at
that again.
Encyclopedia. He was a member of the party of the Sadducees. The Sadducees, and he was the son-in-law of Ananias, a previous high priest who had also succeeded in placing several of his own. Yeah, and then...
So what was Ananias? Was Ananias a Sadducee or a Pharisee?
No, he was a Sadducee.
He was a Sadducee?
Yeah, Ananias. Because he was Caiaphas. He was the son-in-law of Ananias.
Okay.
Ananias. A-N-N-A-S.
I think it's Ananias. Yeah. But again, I found out that he's a Pharisee. So we got to revisit.
Well, according to what I did, the different ones that I went to, the New World Encyclopedia, the Wikipedia, and the Bible, they all say he is a Sadducee.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, what I looked at on Google and different sites on Google, it said he was a Pharisee. So, like I said, let's revisit that again. Let's go a little deeper, okay?
Okay.
You might be right. I might be right. You might be wrong. I might be wrong. We'll dig a little deeper and
Yeah, because like I said, in the Wikipedia, they said that Ananias and Caiaphas may have sympathized with the Sadducees, a religious movement in Judea that found most of its members among the wealthy Jewish elite. So he could have been, like I said, according to what I pulled up.
I got you. I heard you.
Yeah.
I heard you.
They all say that he was a Sadducee.
Okay, a Sadducee. We got to revisit that for homework.
Oh, okay.
All right. And I need you to look at a different source because you already checked out whatever you checked out. So you got to look at something else, okay?
Yeah, this is Google.
Okay. You got to look at Google. Okay.
I'm going by what Google says, but I will check a different site.
That's funny because on Google I found out that he was a Pharisee. That's what I'm saying.
Well, according to what popped up in mine, because I put, what was my question? Was Caiaphas a Pharisee or a Sadducee? And they gave me the whole rundown on the Sadducees.
I got you. I got you.
Okie dokie.
Let's go and see that again next. Look at it. It's almost 8 o'clock after all of that. But let's visit that again.
Okay.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
It really is.
One thing, and I got the opposite. So we're going to examine it again. Whatever sauce you want to get, but I'm just saying use a different sauce if you chose, you know, what you did and it gave you what it gave you. So look at something else. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Because it's going to give you the same thing if you're going to go back to, you know, Wikipedia or whatever.
Yeah, I know.
All right? Yeah.
Okay,
so we want to look at something.
Another one.
I'm going to look at, I don't know what else I'm going to look at because I got it from Google, but let me see what I could,
Google too.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's Google.com search. That's what they gave me.
That is so interesting. Well, I can't say that enough, but it's totally interesting. So we're going to look at that again. We're going to look at it again, God willing, and see what we come up with next. He's one or the other, that's for sure.
Exactly.
You know? But I don't understand the two sides of the same coin.
I don't need maybe one parent was a Sadducee and the other parent was a Pharisee.
We're not talking about his parents. We're talking about him.
Right.
What was he?
And that's what I'm saying. He could be from either one.
Yeah, but what is he? That's the question. What is he? Not what his parents were.
He's a half and half.
I don't know. We'll find, dig a little deeper and let's see what we come up with. But anyway, thank you for the evening.
Thank you.
If all hearts and minds are clear, you can take us out if you would.
Okay.
Thank
Precious
you.
And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that was said this evening in the lesson. We thank you for opening up our minds to receive what was said in the lesson and to give us the discernment to find out what Caiaphas was, if it was a Pharisee or Sadducee, Lord God.
Exactly.
Guide us to scriptures where we will find the answer to the question. We thank you for life. We thank you for strength. We thank you for health. We thank you for everyone. We thank you for our families, our loved ones, our neighbors, even our enemies, Lord God. We thank you for all the knowledge and authority. We ask that you touch them in a special way, that they will make the right decisions for the people and for the country, Lord God. We thank you for all of our needs, a roof over our head, food on our tables, clothes on our backs, Lord God. And Father God, as we're getting ready to have our children go back to school, we ask that you put a hedge of protection around them, that they will be protected going out in the public once again.
Yes.
Keep them from all harms and dangers, especially the COVID, Lord God. Protect them, Lord God, as they go back to learn the word, the scriptures, or even hopefully while they were home, that they did pick up the Bibles and read a little of your word, Lord God, that somebody touched their hearts, Lord God. And we thank you. We thank you for praying one for another. We thank you for our teachers. We thank you for Block Talk Radio. And we just thank you for all of our listeners on Block Talk Radio, Lord God. Listen to this program. Bless their homes, bless their families, and bless their finances, Lord God. And we thank you We love you and adore you. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God be the glory. You are
on our behalf, God be the glory. Love you much, hugs and kisses. And God willing, I will see you tomorrow night, God willing. Is Lady Nadine going to be coming on, or has she said contrary?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I can only wait and see what happens tomorrow.
All right. That's all we could do, God willing.
Yes.
Have a
God be the glory. Love you. So have a good night.
And I'm so glad you got the Daily Bread again. I heard you reading from it on Saturday.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I'm glad you got it.
She just gave me for September, October, and November.
Yeah, she gets the big ones. That's good.
Yeah, she gets the big ones and the small ones she give them out to who she wants to give to. And then she puts it downstairs on the ledge.
The small ones we order, so we get them month by month. But when you go to a big church, oftentimes they have the quarter, the 3 months in one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she
ordered them, so she gets the big one.
That's what we do.
Yeah, and she
orders the big one and gets
the
3 months?
Huh?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
she gets the big one when she orders?
Every 3 months.
Oh, maybe she orders through her church or something, right?
No, she just ordered them on. You know the little the little thing that's inside there where you can also send them to friends or family members?
Oh, no, I got to look at that because I never, like I said, we've been getting them for years and we always get the 1 month, individual month, you know?
Oh. Well, I like this one because you know, it goes to September, October, and November.
Mm-hmm. That's the 3 months, right?
Mm-hmm. And I like reading it on for my listeners.
That's what you did Saturday, and I'm glad you saw James, where it talked about you cannot say which is what I always say, which is God willing. You can't always say I'm going to do this, thus, and such. Because tomorrow is not promised to you. So that's why I always say, God willing, you know? You don't know. You don't know.
We have to say I always say to my sisters, well, if God's will, then we will see each other tomorrow. Or maybe, if it's will. So we going to do it.
Right, but we just don't know. We just don't know his will. That's what James is telling us.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
Have a beautiful evening. I enjoyed the lesson tonight. You told me something that I didn't realize about Pilate because I was sure saying Pilate didn't do that.
Yes, he did.
As you said, now I see. You know, I know he washed his hands, but like you said, or like I said, it was a back and forth kind of thing. You take him, I'm sending them back to you and he ended up ultimately being the one to have him crucified, but he didn't want anything to do with that. He didn't think the man was guilty. That's why he offered Barabbas, you know, thinking they would choose Jesus since that was their king.
No,
but they
chose
Barabbas.
According to them, he was not their king.
Yeah.
Well,
but anyway.
I wouldn't want to be in their shoes, but anyway, it is what it is. And we thank God that we can read for ourselves the Word of God and try not to speak the wrong thing, you know, research.
Yes. Yeah.
Research.
Yeah. That's it. Anyway, have a beautiful evening, and God willing, we will speak on tomorrow.
Okay.
One way or the other.
One way or the other, God's will.
Yes. God willing. Shalom. Love you.
Love you too. Good night.
Okay.